Psalm 96. It's right after Psalm 95. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Amen and amen. So, wanted to speak a little bit about what God is doing in Indonesia. So, greetings from the church in Indonesia. Teach all nations is something that I wanted to speak about. And if we go to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, as you can see, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Now, there's something interesting about these two verses, as you can see. There is something that is mentioned more than once. Now, if somebody, especially Jesus, who's talking here, mentions something more than once, I think we should pay attention to what he is saying about that particular thing. Now, this is something that's called the Great Commission. It's something that a lot of people have used and talk about and still live their lives because of this Great Commission to go and preach the gospel. And here it says for you to go either for and teach. But if you go to verse 20, it also talks about teaching. So teaching or to teach is actually mentioned more than once. It's mentioned twice here. And I find that interesting because when you look at the word teach, if you look at the dictionary and you look at the word teach, it's actually something that's pretty simple. When it says teach, it says that it's something, it's to show or to explain to someone how to do something. Simple, right? You teach, you explain or show somebody how to do something. But then when we look at verse 20, you know, you ask yourself, well, to teach what, Jesus? What should we teach? Well, it says in verse 20, teaching them to what? Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So it's great for you to preach the gospel and let them know there's a gift of grace and salvation for you through Jesus Christ and his blood. But then there's something else that must be done, and that is to teach, to show someone or to explain to someone how to do this. How do you live this life? How do you walk this walk? And that's important to do also. And the reason why I keep mentioning this is because in Indonesia, that is our focus, is education, is to teach. And not just to teach and teach them how to become teachers, because we have a group, and we'll get into that details, and I will explain later about that, what it is that we exactly do. But that's why teaching is something that is so important for us to take a look at. Now, another thing I want to mention, at the end of verse 20, it says, "I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, when we look at that, even unto the end of the world, I mean, what do you think about? What do you guys think about? You can go ahead and talk. This is interactive. Huh? Ooh, apocalypse. Okay. What other things might you think about? To go to the ends of the world. Oh, distance away. That's right, a distance away. So let me kind of backtrack a little bit and tell you a little bit about who I am. Now, this here, there we go, that was too fast. That's a picture of my family. Yes, I am wearing the same shirt. It's just I have like three of the same ones. No, I'm kidding. It's the same shirt. This is called a batik. This is a traditional Indonesian shirt or fabric or cloth that is used in Indonesia. Now, according to the island, according to the town or the village or the tribe, is the different colors and types of batik. If you notice, I'm wearing this one. It's from Malang, which is the town or the city that I lived with my family. And as you notice, we are all wearing the same fabric, and that is called batik. The reason why they do this is so that families are known. Like, you go somewhere and you see everybody with that same batik, because this is all handmade. It's made each individually by hand, different colors, different patterns, different people. If you see everybody wearing the same batik, I mean, oh, that's a family. She belongs to him, and they belong together, and all that kind of things like that. And if you notice, CJ, could you stand up? He's my model today. That's a different type of batik that he's wearing. All right, good job, Vanna White. So, there you go. So batik is different colors, different things, and that's what you see wearing. But we are from the island, as your pastor has said perfectly, Puerto Rico. That's right, Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico is in the Caribbean. I heard there are some people from Trinidad and Tobago. Is that correct? Somewhere? We are, huh? Tobago. So we're neighbors. We're from the Caribbean, yeah. So, huh? Yeah, that's right next door, too. No. So we have the Caribbean, and Puerto Rico is right there. Now, when I just interested in the Bible says to the ends of the world, I said, you know, Mr. Google, let me ask you, what is the furthest point from Puerto Rico in the world? And sure enough, without me really knowing, this is a beautiful picture of the island of Puerto Rico and our flag and everything like that. Without me knowing, when I looked, the furthest point from Puerto Rico was the city of Surabaya, which is the island where I lived in Indonesia. And I said, oh boy, Lord, you are not playing with me when you said go to the furthest points of the earth. There's nowhere further that I could go from my island of Puerto Rico in the Caribbean. How many miles do you guys think is from Puerto Rico to Indonesia? I'm a teacher. I'm going to be asking a lot of questions. I'm going to, you know, trying to... 12,000... Ooh, wait, you're talking kilometers, right? Sorry, kilometers. Let me switch miles. Okay, 12,000. Anybody else have a guess? 8,000 miles, 12,000 kilometers, 18,828 kilometers. Puerto Rico to the island of Java, which is where we lived, me and my family. That's 11,700 miles away. And that is the furthest you could get. If you go east or west, it doesn't matter. That is where God sent us to go. And I just wanted to mention that. I thought it was really interesting to see. Now, Indonesia has over 17,000 islands. And all of them are one country, Indonesia. And all of these islands, just because it has one language and one country and one government, it has so many different ethnic groups and languages and cultures, and it's so diverse. Every color you see there are different ethnic groups in Indonesia. There's over 300, more than 300 ethnic groups in Indonesia. And that's something that I found to be very, very interesting. When you look at Indonesia and you look at the different types of people, you have people that are dressed like right here on my right, your left. These are people from Java, and the way they dress are just really different. In the bottom there, you see people from Bali. If you see here, you see people from, that was trying to get there, sorry. You see people from Papua. Nope, not working. That's fine. Right here you have people from the island of Madura. You notice they're dressed differently. Kalimantan is another group of people. So all these different ethnic groups are there. And that's something that God called us to go and teach and reach for Christ. But this is something that I find very interesting. When you look at the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation." This is John. He's writing the book of Revelation. This is something that was revealed to him that he saw that was coming. And he saw before the throne of God, no one could count so many people from every nation, every tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and they were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And that's a beautiful picture to think about. That's something that we'll be a part of. You and I will be a part of this. We will be before the throne of God and we will be praising his name. And we will all be wearing white robes. And at this time, yes, there are different people, different languages, but we will all be under one. And that's Jesus Christ, our King. Yes? And that's something that I look forward to and that I love to read about and learn and see. Wow. Now, in Indonesia, you have different villages and different ways of life. I'm just going to focus on one. There's a river village in an island in Indonesia. And this is the work that Mustard Seed does, the group that we work with. There's a village in Indonesia, a river village. The houses are over the water, over the river. People live here, and this is their life. They bathe here. They brush their teeth here. They wash their clothes here. They use the bathroom here. Everything is the river. And in this river, there are many, many children. And that's, I love that picture of my daughter. That's my daughter sitting back there. Say, "Hi, honey." She's like, "Dad." And this is a picture of my daughter, Coralis, with some of the children in the village in the jungles of Indonesia. And these children are beautiful children, children that love to laugh and run and play. But there's an issue. There are no schools for these children. Now, again, let me remind you, Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. 87 to 90% of the country is a Muslim country. So a lot of times these children are being raised and they are Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu, and there's no education. And something that we found is that whenever somebody would try to come in and start a church or start some type of church planning movement, a lot of times the villages or the villagers would not really accept that. It was hard to get that going. However, because they need education, they would open their arms and they would accept Christian schools. So we said, there's something that we can do. Let's start opening Christian schools wherever we are invited in the different islands in Indonesia. We can open up a Christian school, and we're very open. We say, "Listen, this is a Christian school." And a lot of times they say, "We just want education for our children because they don't have any schools, and if they do have a school, it's not the best education." So God has opened the doors for us to be able to go to different islands and open up different schools, Christian schools, and teach this generation of children how to read and write and mathematics, but also about Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is just, again, one example. You have this island. You have these children. They are beautiful children. They are in need of an education. And praise God, he gives us the ability to be able to open a school in their village. And this is a picture of my whole family. We're standing in front of the schools that was opened in the village, in this river village in Kalimantan in Indonesia. And we were able to do this because God was good. And when we opened this school up, we're able to go ahead and teach. And yes, bring education, but also bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now those same children are able to attend school, get an education, eager to go to school. I say that because sometimes I'm a teacher. That's my profession. My wife is also a teacher. And a lot of times to get children to wake up in the morning and go to school can be a little bit of a hard time. I see some parents elbowing their kids and just like, you know, trying to. So when I see children that have no schools and have no education and they wake up in the morning and they have to work because they have to work, that's the only way to be able to survive. And then there's a school and the parents send them to this school and the children are so eager to be in school and learn and everything like that. It's amazing to see. So Mustard Seed, we're able to go to these villages, open up these schools, give an education to this, to these children. And once these children receive this education, then we're able to do something else called Transform Nation. It's a program that we have, Mustard Seed, for high school graduates who we see. We do an interview process. We talk to these children. We look at their character. We see what it is that God can use them for. And we train them to be the teachers to go back to their villages and reach the next generation of children, so that then this cycle continues. We don't want to look at things short term. We want to look at long term. We want to make a difference in this generation, but we want to make a difference in the next generation coming up. So when you see a picture like this of this group of kids, this was actually taken about a decade ago. And in this picture, there is a child who grew up to be part of Transform Nation. And now that same child who had no school and no education in her village was able to get an education, joined the Transform Nation program. And when she joined the Transform Nation program, she was able to go through this program for 4 years. They get a college degree, four-year degree, and they're able to go back and they're teachers. They become teachers. And not just teachers, but Christian teachers who are able to reach their next generation with education, but also, most important thing, the gospel. And that's something that Mustard Seed does. That's what God has called us to do. We teach, we love, they lead. Because it's one thing for me to go into a village looking like I look and teach and try to help and try to come in with, and people will look at me and go, whoa, who is this alien? This guy's from another planet. I was in Indonesia the tallest, the fattest, the hairiest, the biggest guy ever, everywhere. So wherever I walk, people would literally jump like this. It was a normal thing. My daughter's laughing because she knows it's true. For me to walk in anywhere and people just kind of like, just like that. So it's one thing for me to do this, but if I train Indonesians, if we are able to give them the tools to go into their own villages and reach that generation, the next one with education and for Christ, that makes a difference. And that's something that we're doing. That's something that is very effective. And that's something that we're doing with Transform Nation. And when they join Transform Nation, I love the fact that we have children, young people, I call them kids and children, they're like 20-year-olds. But we have kids from different islands, and each island brings their own culture. We have something called Culture Night, where they dress up in their own traditional clothing, and they bring their own traditional music, and they worship God in their own traditional ways. And I think it's beautiful to see the differences, and they are all Indonesian. They are all ready to just go out there, and they have a heart for God, and they get an education. They go to school, college, to get an education. They receive their degree. But at the same time, it's good for them to understand and know how to teach and know how to lead a classroom and lead a child as far as education. But we also make it a point to say, this is how you walk with Christ. This is how you don't just teach, but you teach character. You teach what the word says, et cetera, et cetera. You know? And this is just a little 30-second video. Doesn't work, but that's fine. Of them just leading and worshiping and praising God in their own language. But then after 4 years, they graduate. And after they graduate, they go and we send them to the different villages and the different fields to be able to teach the next generation. And the little girl that I showed you in the previous picture has now grown up. And she is a graduate. And she is part of this picture. But now, 10 years later, she's able to go to her own village and become a teacher for the next generation of children, which is what you see happening in this picture. And I just love to see the fact that they see her and they say, she's one of us. She's one of our own. And she's a teacher. And she's talking to me about Jesus. I want to know about Jesus. Because my family is Muslim or my family is Buddhist. But because we're in a Christian school, we can teach. But we can also pray. And we can read the word. And we can teach them about Jesus. Now, I want to show this picture. These are all the places where Mustard Seed is. This is all the places where Mustard Seed is working in Indonesia. From Papua to Java, Kalimantan, the different spots where we have people that are coming in, getting trained, and then we're sending them out to continue. And these kids, they don't want to just stay in Indonesia. They have aspirations and dreams. So I want to go to India. I want to go to China, from Indonesia, to reach a generation of children there. I had a student who said, I want to go to the United States. And I said, well, you know what? You can do that if you want to. And he said, I want to go and reach people for Christ in the U.S. And I said, go for it. Why not? You know, nothing is impossible for Christ. Nothing at all. But this is something that I want to really mention. Now, this is what God has done in my life. This is what God did in my family. But something I want to mention is this. God is calling all of you not to go to Indonesia necessarily. If you feel that from the Lord, we'll talk. I'll be right back there. We can talk about that. And that's great, because it's something that God calls people to do. And you feel that and you know there's something I must do, which is what happened in my case. But a lot of times God calls us to do this where we are, where we live, in our own neighborhood, our own community, here in Toronto. Let me tell you a story. This man you see right here, his name is Mr. Wingirder, James Wingirder. He's not a preacher. He's not a reverend. He's not a pastor. He's not a missionary. He's a high school teacher. He was my high school teacher. And Mr. Wingirder, I didn't grow up in a Christian family. My family was not, we weren't raised believers. We didn't go to church. We were actually what they call spiritist. My family comes from a big animist, praying to the spirits of dead people. And yeah, so that's what I grew up with. I had no idea what we heard about Christians, but we always thought those people are crazy. I don't know what they're doing, you know. But then I met Mr. Wingirder in high school, my high school teacher. He never stood there and said, you must believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord. He never did that. But what I did see was a love and a care that I never saw anywhere else. And all he did was live his life, be a man of God at his local high school, teaching. And that man is the one that God used to reach me, reach my life. Now, did Mr. Wingirder ever go to Indonesia? Nope, he did not. Did he ever leave his hometown, our hometown? No, he did not. Never, never. Yet, Mr. Wingirder influenced my life in such a way that I was able to, first of all, know who Christ was. And he took the time to really just speak to me about Christ. Because I said, Mr. Wingirder, what is it about you? I don't get you. You know, like, I'm a young man, so I'm like, I don't get you, man. You know, I don't. Why are you always like, ha, 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 you know? And he's like, well, you know, I must say, it's the joy of the Lord. And I'm like, what is that? You know, I'm just totally. And he took time to just talk to me and explain. And I said, wow, man, like, I want that. I don't know what it is, but I want that, Mr. Wingirder. And he did that. Just a high school teacher. Now, he never went to Indonesia, but I did. I was able to go to the tribes in Papua. I was able to be there in the jungles. I was able to go and preach the gospel and talk to children. He never did, but I did. And I know, and I just know that God sees that and blesses Mr. Wingirder for what's happening, because he was faithful where God put him. And not only that, it doesn't just stay Mr. Wingirder reaching my generation, which was the next one, but then my daughter, who's there reading to these children, opening up a library in a village that doesn't know Christ, but now they are hearing about Christ, getting an education. This is another generation that Mr. Wingirder has reached because his faithfulness in his local high school. Brothers and sisters, here in Toronto, right now, you have the opportunity to reach the nations. And you don't have to leave Toronto. You can. If you feel you must, go. Jesus says that, go. But if you can't go, you can do something here. A lot of people are immediately called to go, and they go. I mean, God says, you know, I want you, and they get on a plane and go. That wasn't the case for our family. It took years for us to be able to say, you know what, we're going to go to the furthest part of the world in Indonesia, quite literally. But it took years before God placed us in our neighborhood. It was a low-income community. And what we did was this. I would go out and play with my children. And when I went out and played with my children, I would notice that the children in the community would show up in our yard. and you had 15, 20, 25 kids that were in my yard, and I'm thinking, where are all the adults in this place, you know? Nobody was out but just the kids, and me and my wife and all these kids from all around the neighborhood, and we just felt from God, we need to do something with this. We weren't going overseas. We weren't doing some big hoopla. We were just doing something simple. We decided every Sunday morning, we're going to go ahead and have breakfast for these kids. I don't know how we're going to pay it, but we'll just do eggs. You know, eggs is just eggs and some bacon or something. And we did that for 4 years. And it's not to toot our own horn. It's just to say, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you know, you could be a teacher, you could be a coworker, your neighbor, whoever, there is something that God has already placed in your heart to do. And you know I'm right. There's something that there's somebody you see. There's someone that passes and crosses your path, and God says something to you. He puts in your heart, say something to that person. And many times we don't. Many times we say, oh, I'm busy. It's embarrassing. There's a lot of things we do, and I do them still today. But God is trying to expand his kingdom. And it's not just to Indonesia, but he's trying to do it here in Toronto too, with you. He's trying to do it with you. And these children would come to my house, and we would just give them breakfast. And when they ate breakfast, we would say, hey, let's sing some songs. And I would play the guitar and just worship with them. And they're enjoying this. And this was 10 years ago, maybe. And for 4 years, we did this every Sunday. We just had breakfast, worship with them. We would read a passage, and we would study that for 5-10 minutes. And then we would just play. Come on over to my house and play. The neighborhood that we lived in was low income. It was a lot of their parents were substance abusers. It was a very sad situation. So the only place these kids ever felt any type of security or love was in our home. We actually called it the safe place. Hey, you come in the safe place? And they're, yeah, never missed it. And all we did was play with them, sing with them, give them some eggs and bacon, you know. You can do that. There is nothing you cannot do. There's something you can always do. You know, and it's just something, it's just a calling. I'm just trying to say this is a calling for you guys to be a part of what God is doing. And I know that God is talking and tugging your heart and saying this is in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your schools. This is something that can happen, and you can be. In fact, God wants to be a part, wants you to be a part of what he's doing. All because Mr. Wingerter was faithful in his local high school. If you're a teacher, teach, do what you got to do. But you know, there's things that you can do. If you're just a neighbor, if you're just the next door person, if you're somebody at your workplace that you can do it, don't be afraid. He wasn't. And I know God used his faithfulness. You know, I didn't see him for 25 years. Mr. Wingerter, I graduated high school, went to college, went to Indonesia, you know. 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine invites me. I go back to Orlando, Florida, which is where hometown that we lived in. I go back to Orlando, and a friend of mine says, hey, there's this activity in my church. Why don't you come? And I was like, yeah, no, sure, I'll go. So I went. I sit down, and everybody's kind of gathering, getting together. I look at the program, and I'm reading, and I'm like, oh, and I read Praise and Worship led by Jim Wingerter. And I just started looking around. It was like Santa Claus at Christmas morning. I'm like, where is he? And I saw him. He was up. He was about to leave, so I couldn't go running up there, you know, at the moment. But afterwards, I went up to him, and I said, Mr. Wingerter, do you remember me? And he looked at me. He said, of course. How are you? He's 25 years older, so, you know, this is an older picture. But it's still him. You know, he's like, of course, I remember you. How are you, Carlos? I'm like, Mr. Wingerter. I just couldn't help it. I was just like, you don't understand the impact you had in my life. And I'm just one of hundreds and hundreds of kids that he taught. You don't understand the impact you had in my life. And I kind of quickly told him, you know, this is what happened in my life. And it's because you were obedient and you showed me who God was, who Jesus was, you know. And he just looked at me and his eye got a little watered, you know. And he just looked at me and he said something that Mr. Wingerter would say. He says, my job was just to spread the seeds. I'm glad that one fell on solid ground, on fertile ground. And I just was like, that's something Mr. Wingerter would say, you know. It was just amazing to see that. And I, you know, he met my family, and he was just so happy. And I said, you know what, that's what it's all about. You know, not big announcements, not everybody has to hear, not everybody has to know. You just have to be obedient at that moment, in that place that God has put you, that place that God has placed you. So that's the question. What about you? What about you? It's something for you to think about. It's not for me to say, come up here and tell me how you feel. No, it's just, you know, think about this question. What about you? What about what God is calling you to do? What about what God is saying for you to do? When you look at your city, Toronto, when you drive around, when you go to work, when you go to school, when you just live life here in Toronto, what about you? You know, a lot of times people say, you know, we need to go to the nations. Let's go to the nations. But you know what? Let me tell you, God has brought the nations here to you. Look at that. He's even making it easier for us. He has brought the nations here. I was looking at some statistics, you know, just kind of doing a little research, and I found out that 51% of the population in Toronto has been born outside of Canada. 51% of the population in Toronto born outside of Canada. The nations are here. The nations are amongst us. The nations are your next door neighbor, your coworker, the person next to you in school for students. The nations are here. 230 different nationalities are here in Toronto right now. And this is, I think, from 2016. 230 different nationalities are here. And I'm sure some of you, as I speak, you're thinking of people that you know, people that you've seen, people that you run into that are from different nationalities. The nations are here. What are we going to do about it? That's the question. Because James 2, 14 and 17 says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters? Please, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says, well, go in peace, keep warm, yeah, well fed, I'm so hungry, yeah, you know, try to find a meal, and you just kind of, you do nothing about your physical, their physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, I don't know you. We just met. You're seeing me for the first time, and I, for the first time, you. And I'm not saying you're not doing this. I'm just saying this is something God has called us all to do. He has called me to do this, and you, and I, and all of us. Let's do it. Let's feed. Let's clothe. Let's speak. Let's be the light, yeah? Let's be the light. Last thing I want to do, if we can go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Because all of these things that God has blessed my family to do, and all of these things that God calls us to do, all these things that Jesus says for us to go and do to the ends of the earth, right? We can't do it on our own. We don't have the strength. We don't have the ability. We don't even know how to do it, right? However, he does provide. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive what? You will receive what? Power. You will receive power. He's talking when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Toronto, guys, is part of the end of the earth. It is. Canada, America, the West. The only way that we'll be able to do this is one by one and in the power of the Holy Spirit within us, helping us, guiding us, strengthening us. There's promptings. There's things that you kind of go, oh, maybe I should say something to that person. Yes, maybe you should. In fact, do it. You should. And that's what God is calling us all to do. Yes, we are from Mustard Seed. Yes, we went to Indonesia. Yes, some of you might go somewhere else in the world. But also, yes, you are in Toronto. Yes, God has called you here now. And yes, there is something for you to shine. There's a light in you. Shine. Shine in the darkness. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
Hermano Carlos, que Dios te bendiga. Gotcha. I said, Brother Carlos, may God bless you. It's All the Spanish I know is from telenovelas. That's all I know. This message, and we thank you again, Carlos, for this, and thank God for this, comes at a time when our church is praying. We are praying. The elders are, Anna and Beth and Bruce as the missions committee are discussing and praying about this. What is our future as a church when it comes to missions? We've supported missionaries. You have that map on the back of the church over there with the currently 8 ministries that we support, missionaries. But is that it? Is that calling us to do more? I was blessed by our church here that I could go to Moldova twice in 2 years in a row, 2018, 2019, and continue what God has done there, and you know, since what God has done in my life and through my life since, 2002 until I came to Canada. I was happy to see that bridge built. But that's me and my heart and my history and my ministry in Eastern Europe. But what is God calling our church to? Not just to, you know, sign a check and say my dues. I turned into the English first word. I've done my stuff, you know. And it's a great, we're an amazingly generous church. And I appreciate God and you guys so much for the generosity of this church. But my heart goes to how much more could we actually do? You know, as far as going, I saw pictures in Indonesia, and I'm going to be short actually. and all I could think is, what would be if I actually be in that picture? You know, if I could be one of those people that go there, you know, once a year, twice a year, and encourage, equip, and challenge young Indonesians to be the feet of the gospel in their nation. I don't have to move. I don't think I'll move to Indonesia. Sorry about that. But because I love Toronto so much, and I've done one move over across the world, you know, already, so I'm kind of done with that. But I might actually go there if God calls us there. Greece is calling, you know, closer, nicer, more history. Maybe not, but anyway, Neil McCreese is inviting us to go there and support ministry there. And there are many, many other places we could go as a church. You know, not move there, but maybe just support, visit, teach, encourage, carry the torch, lift up the arms. You know, could be Indonesia, but I hope I've told you. If not, I'm doing it now. If I repeat myself, I'm 50, so I'm okay with that. I go to Moldova not because I can save Moldova in 10 days. I go there because I know a brother, Lucian, and his family, and I know his church. And my job there when I go is to support Lucian, to lift up his hands, and to encourage his heart, and to put a smile on his face. And if I can, and I could because of you guys, help the church, equip the church with, let's say, bunk beds last summer, so he can actually have teams and teachers come to his church. Indonesia, I don't know. If God spoke to you today, and I prayed, and I still pray he does, talk to Craig, CJ, oh, Craig, whatever, or Carlos, and ask them. Maybe God leads you somewhere. Maybe not. Maybe just you pick up a card and pray for them. You stick it on your fridge. Whenever you go and open up the fridge, you say a prayer for them. I don't know. I'm just thankful that God has shown us how much his kingdom is expanding all over the place, all over the earth, not just in Commonwealth, not just in Canada, but all over the world. And I'm gracious for this message this morning, Carlos. May God lead us in such a way that we actually can go and teach all nations. Hakka, Armenian, Romanian, Dutch, Chinese, Mandarin, and I'm trying, you know, Trinidad, Tobago's, and trying to think of others, you know. I missed Rudy the first time. I didn't get French. Okay, French. Say what?
Arabs.
Okay. So many places we could, and actually as a church, as his body, maybe we actually should. Okay? Big discussion, big topic. We'll continue next week as we have Regina Wang coming and, you know, carrying on the torch of missions through this month of November. And we'll pray that God will move our hearts even more. We'll end right now. We usually end up with the Lord's Prayer, but I forgot to put it on the PowerPoint as usual. It's, again, I say I'm 50. I have the right to forget. So we'll actually open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And the funny thing is, we have all this translation. I probably just jump and steal Dave's Bible because he's got King James. Can I have your Bible, actually? I'm not kidding. We use King James for the Lord's Prayer because it's the translation in English that's so seared into our memory that if we put anything else, it just feels, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a word I learned in Canada. Let's all stand, please. I'll read slowly. You can see it. Say it with me. But say it with your heart as we read these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you. Go and be God's feet and hands wherever you go. Amen. See you next week.